Rava Amar, you go to Asu Betreva Amri Anana Grimine. Rava's solution, as we saw yesterday in both Rabbein Yona and the Rashba, they indicate not every Rishon agrees. The predominant view is that Rava is giving an additional approach. Eidos on Cheskas Habatim, on the Hishtamshus of the bias, definitely can be, as a bias suggested, using the Shivavi, and that's the most common option. But as Rashba pointed out, there will be scenarios where it's not available. Some people don't have neighbors. Some people don't have any neighbors. Some people have neighbors who are not kosher leidos. Some people have neighbors who may not know because they moved in recently. So there'll be scenarios where you may not even have access to Eidos Shivavi, or for whatever reason, rather than the Eidos Shivavi, you'll use the Eidos HaSochem. You need the Eidos HaSochem, you want the Eidos HaSochem. It could also just be that the Shivavi are difficult people. Sometimes one hopes to have great relationships with neighbors. Sometimes relationships with neighbors are less than ideal. And to ask a neighbor to come and be made on your behalf in Beis Din may be difficult for a wide variety of reasons. So for whatever reason, Rava says, there'll be times when you may want another option. So it's not always going to be available. But Rava says, in addition to Shivavi, if, rather than living in the house yourself, you rented it out, Rava says, bear in mind, option number two is bring your tenants to court as your agent. And to that, Rav Yemer asks, what type of answer is that? It's true that the tenants, if they are indeed tenants, they have been there day and night, and they are in a position to speak with authority about the fact that they have been there day and night. They're talking about their own behavior. They don't need any aids, diablos, for you. They were there themselves with themselves, be made that they themselves were there. That's great. But the question is, we can't take their word for it. If they're not going to say that they were there for a full 3 years, if they say something else or nothing at all, and as a result, the machazik loses the case and the marakama retakes the property, if the Beis Din decides to give the property to the marakama, you're going to have to pay rent to the marakama. They already paid rent to the machzik. Now they have to pay rent to the marakama. So that's an incredible nagia. They have a lot of money. 4 figures, 5 figures, 6 figures, depending on where you live. 3 years worth of back rent that they're now going to owe to the marakama if the marakama wins. But they do not owe it to the marakama if the machzik wins. They have a lot of skin in the game. They are nogim in a very big way. A directly relevant question?
Yeah. If the machzik wins, won't they owe the machzik rent?
If the machzik wins... No, they've been paying the machzik for the last 3 years. The Gemara's answer is going to be they haven't paid anyone. But the starting assumption is that the machzik, the new guy, who claims to have bought the property, he's their landlord. He's the one who had offered them, who they had negotiated with, to rent the property from him, thinking that he is the owner. And then, presumably, until the Gemara gets to the Teretz, at this point we're assuming it's a normal case, they've been paying rent month after month, year after year. So they've already paid the machzik. But they haven't paid the marakama, because as far as they were concerned, he's a former owner. Why would they pay the former owner? But now, if it turns out that he still is a present owner, they're going to owe him. So that's a negiah, and Rav Ashi is going to answer, no, it must be a case where they haven't paid rent to anyone. But on the assumption that they have been paying rent consistently throughout the 3+ years to the machazik, so they either do or don't have a new rent bill to the marakama, depending on who wins. So that is a major negiah. So let's take a look. There are a few things going on here. Two different, as I mentioned yesterday, two different directions in Rishonim, at least two different directions in Rishonim, in terms of this kasher of Yev Yemer. We're not, one that we'll put off for later, Bli Neder, is Tosus. Tosus raises a Migo question. Maybe I can use a Migo to somehow get around the Nogim Be'edus. Kasher Teretz, let's hold off on that. Let's hold off on that until we get ourselves deeper into the world of Migo. But let us instead turn our attention to Rabbeinu Yonah. Take a look at Rabbein Yonah. Amar Lei. The bottom of page Kuf Zayin. Amar Lei, Yemer Lo Ravashi. Hani, no, can they do so name? Yemer asks Ravashi, this kasha, we're just looking at the Gemara. They're nogim. Why? The ilo amri hachi. If they don't say this, amri in lahu. If they don't come through with effective edus for the machazik, let's say so. One, some of the chaver pointed out during seder today. Let's say they were to say we were only there for 2 years. So then that's not, and maybe that's the truth. Maybe the truth is they've been there for 2 years, but they have a negia to what they want to say 3 years, because they know if they say 3 years, then the machzik wins and they're sitting pretty. If they say 2 years, then the machzik may lose. And now they get owed 2 years worth of rent to the markav gevalt. They're going to have to pay him. Ukahahida amar parakeitz a regel, as the Gemara says in the second parak of Bava Kama, parakeitz a regel daf chaf aleph at the top. Hasocher bayis me reuven v'nimtza bayis shal shimon. Malaschar l'shimon. I rent a house from Reuven, and then it turns out that it really doesn't belong to Reuven. It really belongs to Shimon. So I have to pay rent to Shimon. So number one, Rabbeinu Yonah, Rabbeinu Yonah, number one is pointing out his first point, and we'll keep reading, then we'll come back. But his first point is, let's just keep reading. Let's read Ben Yonah, then we'll come back and analyze. Even though, if the ma'arer, if the marakama wins, motziin hasochem yada maskir kol aschar shenostoma. If the marakama indeed wins, so then these renters can retrieve the money that they already paid to the machazik. Because if it turns out that the machazik loses, then he wasn't really their landlord, and they were paying him on false pretenses. They thought that he was a landlord, but he really essentially sold them the Brooklyn. If he loses, if the Beis Din awards it to the Marakama, so then the machazik was really selling them the Brooklyn Bridge, or renting them the Brooklyn Bridge. And he was renting them something that wasn't his to rent. I said, oh, look at this house. This is a nice house. You know, for only $800 a month, you can live in this house. So he goes, oh, look. Turns out it's not really his house. So Rabbeinu Yonah says, in that case, they could sue the machazik and retrieve the last 3-4 years of rent that they paid under the mistaken assumption that he really is the landlord. So even though, if indeed the marakama wins and the machazik loses, the sochrim can retrieve all the rent they already paid in Beis Din. So what's his kasha? Yeah. Right, so it's not really a negia, because it's true, if the marakama wins, we're going to have a new rent bill due to the marakama, but we're also going to retrieve everything we paid from the machzik, and we'll give it to the marakama. Why not? Afilu hachi, well, let's see. So in other words, it isn't really a negia. Afilu hachi, no, in other words, it's really a wash. He's asking. It's not a new. Instead of the $15,000 I already paid to the machzik, I'll get back the $15,000 from him and I'll hand it over to the marakama. So what does it matter? Because Shane of the Gemara's answer was, we haven't paid anyone yet. I hear I have a lump sum in one envelope, 3 years worth of rent. Beis Din telling me whom to give it to. I don't care. Either way, I'm paying the same 3 years worth of rent. So Rabbeinu Yonah says the truth is, even without the strange ukimta that they haven't paid anything, let's say they have paid. They already paid, they've been paying month after month. They're good on-time tenants. Every month they paid the machzik. It turns out the marakama wins. So they'll take the money back from the machzik and give it to the marakama. So Weitzer, even though they haven't paid every month, it's still the same thing. It's not really no gimbay. That's not more money. It's just take the money back from this one and hand it to the other guy instead. What does it matter which address I'm sending it to? It doesn't matter to me as a socher. So where's the negia? No. I feel hachi no gein beidusim him. They still are no gein beidusim. Why? Why are they no gein? It doesn't really matter anyways. So to this he gives several answers. She'ein ritzonam lehischayei b'schar lama'arer ulemekam bedina b'adei maskar l'aschar. Number one, they're not interested in having a new obligation to pay the ma'arer. Ma'arer is the one who's complaining, the marakama, ulamekam bedina, and they have to go to Beis Din, b'hadei maskir, together with their heretofore landlord, al-hasar. In other words, answer number one is, yeah, in theory, I could get the $30,000 back from you and give it to him, but that's not an effortless, frictionless transaction. It means now I owe money to the Marakama. He wants his money, and it's not going to be effortless to get the money out of the hands of the Machazik. I'm going to have to take him to Beis Din. Remembering, who are we talking about? We're talking about a man who, if indeed he loses, if indeed he is not really the owner of the property, and he was renting me the Brooklyn Bridge, so this guy's clearly, if that's the case, he's clearly a shady operator. This is not a particularly honest man, if indeed he was cheating me. So, but now that we found out, he's just going to pleasantly, effortlessly, oh sure, here's your money back. Maybe. Likely not. Likely he's going to give me a very hard time. He's going to give me a runaround, and I'm going to have to go after him, I'm going to have to take him to Beis Din, and it's going to be a whole agita, be loads of aggravation. Who needs that? So the Sochem say to themselves, in theory, in the long run, it will be a net zero. In the long run, I'll pay this one the extra $30,000. I'll get back the $30,000 for that one. Yeah, in the long run, the numbers are going to work out. This is going to be a lot of effort. And now I have to pay this one, and then I may have to pay the Marakama. I may also have a cash flow problem. And we have to pay the Marakama right away. And I won't necessarily tell the Marakama, when I get the money back from the Machazik, I'll give it to you. No. He says, you owe me the money now. You paid the Machazik already. That's your business. I'm sorry. I feel bad for you. But I don't have to wait for you to get the money back from him before you pay me. You owe me the money now. It's a Gemara Bava Kamma. You owe me the money now. So that's answer number one. Let's finish with Yonah, then we'll come back and ask questions and think and analyze. Answer number two, the ode. Shema yichbar halav yomer shol kibul ashar. Maybe the machazik, the ahala is the other one. Is it figure? Who's the other one? Maybe the other one will deny ever having received the rent money. In other words, the machazik. The Edom came to Beis and said, we were made, we're going to be made that we paid rent. But then if it turns out, if they're not made, or if for whatever reason things don't work out, so the Marakama wins, they're going to go to the Ma'arer. Not only do they have to take him to Beis Din, maybe he'll deny ever having gotten the money. Or he'll claim, I already paid you back. He'll say, the day after Beis Din Paskin, that's not my house. Don't you remember I gave the money back right away? Or, option number four, maybe this guy rented to them for a very small amount. But the Marakama is going to demand full market price rent. In other words, answer number four is it may not be a wash. Not just because procedurally, logistically, it's going to be hard to get the money back, or it may not work out to get the money back, but maybe it doesn't even cover it. Maybe I've been paying a discounted rent rate, which is, by the way, not unlikely. Because if indeed the machazik is really a ganav, if indeed the machazik is not honest, if indeed the machazik never really bought the property, he just pretended to have bought the property, he was renting me the Brooklyn Bridge, it's definitely in the machazik, in this shady machazik's interest to perhaps offer me a great deal. If he's renting the house the same way anyone else is renting, so why should, I may ask a few questions. I'll tell you, it may turn out he doesn't want to be discovered when he's trying to rent out the property. He doesn't want people to discover that he's the guy that he's not really the owner. So it's in his best interest to offer you such an amazing deal, he's going to jump on it. Everyone else is renting at $2,000 a month. He says $1,200 a month. Wow. So I'm not asking too many. Everyone's lining up. So whoever hops it, people don't ask too many questions. Sometimes the deal is too good to be true.
It is
too good to be true. Right? So it's not unlikely that if indeed the Machzik is wrong and the Marakam is right, it's not unlikely that the Machzik was offering a discounted rent rate. So I have been paying the Machzik $1,200 a month. for the last 3 years. So yeah, I'll get the 1,200 back, but I'm going to owe the Marakama market price, 2,000 a month. That doesn't add up. So again, let's encapsulate, and then we can begin to take questions and think about it. Let's encapsulate first what Rabbeinu Yonah said to us. I know I left out the last line. Well, Blina will come back to the last line. Well, Rabbeinu Yonah really made, if you take a step back for a moment, Rabbeinu Yonah was making 2 points. Rabbeinu Yonah was making 2 points. That Rav Yemer's question is based on 2 hanachos, each of which he addresses. He addresses the first hanacha briefly, he addresses the second hanacha at greater length. Rav Yemer's question that, hey, these Socher are not kosher leitzos because they have a negia, they have skin in the game, the Bazin's verdict matters to them, they're not neutral, unbiased parties here, that's what Rav Yemer is saying. They have a vested interest in the Machazik winning rather than Marakama. So Rabbeinu Yonah's pointing out, if you read him carefully, if you learn him carefully, Rabbeinu Yonah's pointing out that's based on 2 assumptions. Assumption number one is that if the Marakama wins, they now have to pay the Marakama, A. And assumption number two is that getting money back from the new bill that they're going to have to the Marakama is not going to just be a wash and canceled out by getting back money from the first guy, from the Machzik. Those two assumptions together equal they have an Negiah. But if they wouldn't owe rent to the first to the Marakama, there'll be no Negiah. Or if they would owe rent to the Marakama, but just neutralized by what they get back from the Machzik, it's all a wash, there's no Negiah. That's where Rabbeinu Yonah pointed out, without articulating it so explicitly, but we should learn this. Rabbeinu Yonah, notice, oh, he's making 2 points. In the first 2.5 lines, he's making the first point. He says they're no gay at the Eidus because if the Machzik loses, the Marakama wins, they will now owe money to the Marakama. The Gemara said that point explicitly. Rabbeinu Yonah is adding, by the way, that's the Gemara. By the way, that's the Gemara. Okay, so it's nice to know it's the Gemara. We'll have to think about soon. Is there a Chiddush? Do we need that Gemara to tell me that? Is there? What's the Chiddush in that? We'll take that apart. Actually, now that Rabbeinu focuses on that Tanakh number one, it actually is interesting. It's not 100% self-evident that they should owe him money. We'll talk about that soon. And then the second point, which he was more direct about, is that the Gemara did not explicitly say, but is obviously assuming, that the new Agar Besa they owe to the Marakama will not be effortlessly canceled out by the refund, that's the word, the refund that they'll get back from the Machzik. So point number one is the new bill to the Marakama. Point number two is the refund is not really going to cover it. And again, he had given 4 answers to why the refund isn't an even wash. The first one was the aggravation. Yeah, my accountant will say it's a wash because money disappears here and money comes in there and it's all net zero. Shkoyach. But in terms of what I'm going to go through, I'm going to have to take this guy to Bazin. He's obviously a tough guy to deal with. And plus, it may also be a cash flow issue. I'm going to owe money to the Marakam before I succeed in yanking the money back, getting the refund in Beis Din from the Machzik, so I may be caught in between. So that's answer number one. Answers two and three are, it may not be so easy. I may not just it's going to be hard and take time to get in Beis Din, but answers two and three are, I may not succeed in Beis Din. Why? Because I don't have proof. I don't have proof. I came to Bazin, I said that he paid me. Or I didn't come to Bazin, let's say. I could have chosen not to come to Bazin, but I know I paid him. Do I have receipts? So he could be co-fair. He could deny I ever paid him. He said, no, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? You were a deadbeat tenant, you never paid me. So I would have to prove that I paid him so that I can get it back. And also he could claim that he already paid me back. Yeah, I'm a very honest man. The day after Bazin said that it's not my property, I gave it back to you right away. How am I going to prove? If I don't have eight, I don't have a star. So those are answers two and three are not just, it's going to be the process of getting it back will have costs. The time that it takes to get the money back, the agitation. Answers two and three are, I may never succeed in getting the money back in Beis Din. He may be kofer, he may claim hechazarti. And then answer number four was, it may not numerically be a wash. Forget about agitation, forget about getting it back. Even if Taka, he gives me all the money back right away, maybe he gave me a discount. So, you know, says the end, the discount, that's not such a great explanation because, okay, so maybe we're talking about a case where there's no discount. Okay. But again, Rabbi Yonah is addressing himself, he's addressing himself again to the two hanachos that drive the Rav Yemer's kasha, and he's working each one out. So let's take some questions. Yeah.
I have two questions. First is, like, for his answers are 2 to 4, how could the Eidinger student, like, predicting that fact, that how the mobs is going to react? Like, can they assume he just react to normal life?
Yeah, that's a good point. So it's important to appreciate in the answers of Rabbeinu Yonah to his question, it's worth thinking about the chiddush that each answer carries with it. In terms of the scope of nogeya be'edus, what counts as a negiya? So for instance, the first answer that I'm not interested in having to take him to Din Torah. So that's saying that I'm not just nogeya be'edus if from an accounting perspective, from my balance sheet, I end up losing cash. It could be that I come out whole, but there's still a negiya because there was a cash flow problem temporarily, or because it was just an experience I didn't have to go through. I don't want to have to take him to Beis Din. I'm not interested. There's so much tension and stress, and that itself counts as a negiya. I wouldn't lose money, but I would lose time. There'll be aggravation. Da, da, da. That itself is already called a negiya. In answers 2 and 3, answer 4, the radio himself points out, well, it depends, you know, depends on the cases. If there was a discount, if there was a discount, not. Answers 2 and 3, the middle answer, where he says, well, maybe I'll lose when I go to Beis Din. Not just it'll take me time and stress, but maybe I'll talk to lose, because maybe he'll be kofar, or either he'll deny he ever paid him, lahadab, lohaydvar me'olam, lahadab me'olam, says lohaydvar no, you never gave me the money, or, yes, you gave me the money, I paid you back already, you know, parati. Yet they don't know for sure that he will, but they know that they're dealing with a smooth operator. And I do not mean that as a compliment. Or they're not sure, but they don't know if they're dealing with a smooth operator. But you're right. You see that risk exposure is also a negiya. But they don't know for sure that they'll lose their case, but they realize that there's a reasonable chance that the guy's going to pull shtick. They realize they don't really have evidence. They don't have enough documentation. There are no aidim watching them pay their rent. They didn't get a receipt every time. Maybe they should have. They didn't get a receipt. They just paid their rent. So they maybe they have carbon copies of their checks. But it doesn't mean they ever hand the checks over. They may not have documentation. They realize, so you're right, the chiddush of the second and third Yonah is that risk of loss, even though it's not definite loss. If the Machzik wins, my money is definitely safe. If the Marakava wins, I may or may not lose money. I have risk exposure. That also is called Negiya. That's an interesting chidushin in terms of the bounds of Negiya Be'edus. Yeah, Yaakov.
Why do the
Sofer
have to go to the Machzik to get the money? Why can't the Ma'ar and the Machzik work it out themselves?
Wouldn't that be easy? Right, wouldn't that be easy? Another interesting point you raise, another general issue of Beis Din procedure. You're right. The Sofer will be glad to say, when the Marakama comes to them, after the Marakama, if the Marakama wins against the Machzik, as in the next move in this three-way chess game, is that, as one of you was graphing out earlier as a three-way football, X, Y, and Z, and instead of just, oh, X is no, that's right. So the next move, the next act of the play, after the Marakama sues the Machzik, the Marakama is going to sue the Sofer. So you're saying, the Sofer should come to Beis Din and say,
You're absolutely right, we owe you money, but we already, he owes us, and we owe you, so just go to him. Right? Does that work? Reuben owns Shimon, Shimon owes Levi, can Shimon tell Levi just go collect from Reuben? So there is such a concept, but it doesn't happen automatically. There is a concept of Mamad Shloshta. The three of them are standing together. You're right, give them that few. Give them also, maybe us also. Mamad Shloshta, sometimes if Reuben owes Shimon and Shimon owes Levi, they all get together and discuss it, so then they can transform it into Reuben owes Levi directly. But the middle party can't force it. In other words, the machzik owes the sokrim, and the sokrim owe the marakama. So the sokrim say to the marakama, leave us out of it, you just go and deal with my debtor. The marakama says who? I'm not interested in dealing with him. You owe me money. What do I care who owes you money? You owe me money. Like, if someone owes me money, do I say, don't bother me, go to my employer and just, you know, no, I'm suing you. I don't have my din Torah, that's something that will all come different places in the Bavas. Thinking about with whom do I have my din Torah? My case is not with him. My case, you owe me money. I don't care what you're with me. I care as a caring human being. But it's not relevant to me what your business is. You owe me money. You were in my time. That's the Gemara Bava Kama. You were nana for my property. I'm sorry you didn't realize it was my property. But Lamaisa, you were nana for my property. I have no tinus against you, but you got it. I understand. You meant well. You didn't pay. I understand why you didn't pay me. I'm not upset at you for not paying me, but you owe me money. You were living in my house for 3 years. You didn't realize it was my house. I didn't realize you were there. But now I came back and found out that Machazik had made up a whole story that he owns the property and it was rented to you. So I'm sorry for the confusion. Lamasa, in a very friendly way, you owe me money. So yes, so it will be to the Sokrim's benefit to try to negotiate with the Marakama and say, listen, we want to make sure you get your rent. We accidentally paid rent to the wrong guy. So would you be so kind as to just go collect from him directly and leave us out? If the Marakama agrees, call kavod. But the Marakama has no obligation to agree. And frankly, the Marakama, I would understand well why the Marakama would not want to agree. This is the guy, you tell me, the guy who just stole property from me and pretended to be the owner of property that's really mine, I just won court case number one against him, now I should take the basin again to get money out of him? Why? Why would I want to deal with him? You owe me money, you're reasonable people, you owe me money. So yeah, if he agrees to bypass them, he certainly can, perhaps. But there's no reason why he would. If I was advising the Marakama, I don't think it's in the Marakama's best interest to agree to that type of bypass. No, the Sokrim owe money, don't have to Sokrim. And the Sokrim realized, again, this is all hypothetical. None of this happened yet. Right? The Gemara is saying the Sokrim, when they walk into Beis Din, when we're in the middle of court case number one, the Marakama versus the Machzik over who owns this property, and the Sokrim are called by the Machzik to testify at that, Beis Din sees the Sokrim walk in, they say, wow, those Sokrim have a lot going on in their heads. Right? This entire sugya is the whole Rav Yemar Ravashi, we're trying to crawl into the heads of the Sokrim as they walk into Beis Din. They're thinking, well, let's say he wins, what happens to us? Let's say he wins, what happens to us? And as Robert pointed out, they're thinking about what will definitely happen. We're definitely going to owe the Marakama money if he wins. If we speak up, then probably the Marakama loses. If we don't speak up, more likely the Marakama wins. If the Marakama wins, we go with money. If the Marakama wins, the Machzik owes us money, but maybe not so much, and maybe we won't get it back, and it's going to be difficult. All these things are bouncing around the Sokrim's heads as they decide what are we going to say in this. So that's what we're explaining, since they know that if their words may be dispositive, may make the decision of whether Marakama wins or loses, or they owe money to Marakama or not, and it's a loss which is not fully covered, either numerically not fully covered, or is this risk that I may never retrieve my refund, or I retrieve my refund, they'll come at a personal cost, personal emotional cost, or time cost, a cash flow cost, there all these cheshbonos, and that's how we all work. You know, always try to calculate, I can do this, I can do that. Hopefully we're doing it in a legitimate, honest way. But here, it may tend them towards dishonesty, because they realize I'm exposed to cost and to risk and to da-da-da-da-da. So Bezin, then, that's all bounced around in the Sochrim set. Bezin is going to look at these Sochrim and say, whoa, you guys have a lot on your plates. So outside of Bezin, I'd love to talk to you and talk to them in a pastoral role and talk about your stress. But in a Bezin role, I can't necessarily accept your testimony because I realize that you're so compromised. Because you have so much skin in it. Yeah, God.
Why would the Rabbeinu Yonah sort of minimize his last answer? Couldn't you say that rogue of dishonest people would want to cheat, would be smart enough to sell it at a discounted price to avoid suspicion or to a...
Maybe. Okay. But still, to say that he offered a regular rate is probably an easier answer than to say that the tenants haven't paid any rent for 3 years. So at the very least, it's a more attractive answer. We could take more questions, but for now, let's proceed. Let's head back into Ben Yonah. And again, as we had said, Ben Yonah is pointing out that in Rav Yemer's Kasha, we haven't gotten to Rashi's Teretz, in Rav Yemer's Kasha, there are two layers. There are two hanachas, two premises as Kasha rests upon. The second one is what we've been talking about, that it's not going to be just an easy, smooth wash. The refund is not automatic, and it might not be complete, and it may take time. It may not come at all, right? So that was hanacha number two. That they can't just say, "Oh, the refund is going to wash out and totally cover." The first hanacha was that they do owe money to the Marakana. They do owe money to the Marakana. So why was that such a chiddush? Why was it such a chiddush? Yeah, of course. You need to bring me a Gemara. Why is that such a chiddush?
Maybe this chiddush never worked.
Well,
why is that logical at all? Like, maybe Halacha says otherwise. Maybe since they were under false pretense, they did their due, and they don't need to pay.
Obviously,
I can establish that.
Good. There was no contract. I had no agreement with him. So Shechter has a beautiful article that he sort of unpacks more of what Chaim is saying and formalizes it a little bit more. And two Gemaras in Bava Metzi in particular drive this home. One is a Gemara in Bava Metzi Daf Kuf Aleph Amud Aleph that Yoretov Sechaber Shlomi Daitam. You have a field, and it's Asuya Lita. It's a field that needs to be planted. We're going to set up an orchard. You haven't done it yet. Mm-hmm. And you're going to hire workers to do it. You hadn't hired any workers yet. And I show up one day, and I do the work. I show up, and I do the Netiyas. So if, the Gemara says, if it's a Sada Asuya Lita, if this is work that Yitake needed to get done, not that I was planning to leave it fallow, you decided, you volunteered to plant trees, are very beautiful, I wasn't planning to do it. No. This is what needs to happen. That's what this land is meant for. It needs to happen. This is a cherry orchard, and a bunch of trees died over the last year or two. They need to be replaced. This is the work. This work needs to be done, and you volunteered to do it. So the Gemara says, I'm mechayiv to pay you. Remember I told you before we learned Mesilas Yesharim that in Ian we would get to the other half of the employer-employee relationship. The employer is, I'm mechayiv to pay you. I'm not your employer. I never hired you. You did a job that needed doing, but I didn't actually hire you. I was going to hire someone. But I hadn't made any agreements with anybody. And you just sort of volunteered. So the Gemara says, it's not a volunteer. I owe you money. And not just I owe you money for the material they left behind. You left a tree in my grounds. I owe you for the tree. No. I owe you for your hours. I owe you for your labor. I owe you for your labor, but we had no contract. I never agreed to pay you. Or, that's the Gemara Bava Metzia Daf Kuf Aleph. Or, Gemara Bava Metzia earlier, Daf Ayin Vav, Amud Aleph. I sent you in the Mara Makomas to the Rambam, because the Gemara is, the Rambam sort of draws out the Nakuda. The Gemara is, Rambam draws out what the Gemara says, but it's in the midst of a lot of back and forth in the Shakavataria. The Gemara talks about a situation, the beginning of Socher Sa'omnim, where I have my foreman go and hire workers for me. So one of my workers is hiring more workers. I have a foreman who works. The boss tells the foreman, go hire workers for construction work, for a farm, for whatever it is. I ask my employee to go hire additional employees. Okay, good. And he does. Great. But let's say there was a breakdown in communication in terms of what the salary is supposed to be. So here the Rambam quotes, in Hilchas Chiras Perek Tes Halach Gimel, Omer L'Shlucho Tzeyu Schor Li Po'olim B'Shlosha, I asked my foreman to go hire people at 3 dinarim an hour. V'Holach U'Schorim B'Arba, he hired them at a higher rate. He offered them more money than I had told him to offer. I told him to offer them three, let's say, $30 an hour, and he offered them $40 an hour. Great. And, or I asked him to hire workers at 13 an hour, and he hired them at 14 an hour. He offered them more than I had told him to offer them. And now they did the work, and now, when it comes time to pay them, at the end of the day, the end of the week, all of a sudden we discover, I assume I was paying them 3 times the number of hours, and they assumed they were getting 4 times the number of hours. Now we discover this misunderstanding, and we trace it back to, oh, I had told the foreman hire them for 3, but he had told the workers, the boss is hiring you for 4. So first the Ram gets one piece out of the way. If the foreman said that he himself is going to owe them the salary, obviously it's his issue. Okay, but let's talk about a normal case, where the foreman said, I'm not the boss, I just work for the boss, but I'm his agent to hire you, he's going to pay you your salary. And the foreman tells them he's hiring you for 4 an hour. But the boss had never authorized the agent to say that. The boss had told the agent to say 3 an hour. So the boss expected he's hiring, paying these workers 3 an hour. The workers did the work assuming they're getting paid 4 an hour. Hadin imi, what is the salary supposed to be? So the Rambam here, that either makes everyone happy or no one happy. The boss says, I wasn't planning to pay 3.5 either.
No, take a Sophos approach. Yeah,
Why? Each one feels cheated. The worker said, you hired us for $4 an hour. I don't want 3.5 an hour. We're just going to cut 12.5% off of my salary? Or what? It's because someone else made a mistake? Let's find out what the din is.
I like that idea.
Just no
unbased.
So if there was a suffix, Simchus would say perhaps Mamuz Basaf Yachloko. But it's not a suffix. We have to figure out what the din is. And if they agree to a pshara, so Bezin might offer that as a pshara. But if they want Shuras Hadin, they come to Bezin, they say, we don't want to fight, we don't want to be nasty. I feel I'm entitled to this, you feel you're entitled to that. We ask the Bezin, what's the din? So Bezin will ask them, would you like us to make a pshara? So they could say yes, or they could say no. I want to do whatever the din is. I don't want a pshara, I want din. So what if they say to Bezin, we want the din? Amar lahem, schachem abal abayis, when the shaliach, the foreman, the agent that really originally hired them, he had said, I'm merely an agent, that's my role, you're being hired by the Baal HaBayis is going to pay you, the boss will pay you, Noslem Baal HaBayis kehilchas HaMedina. Then the Baal HaBayis has to pay them according to the going rate. In other words, if some people hire for 3 and some people hire for 4, so then it gets a little complicated. Then we have to figure out how much they have to pay. But we're not letting Sokhus Omina right now. But I want to focus on the following case. As the Gemara says, if the going rate for that type of work is 4, the boss had offered 3, told the agent offer 3. The agent offered 4. And the going rate is 4, guess how much the boss has to pay them?
5.
4. Why? He never agreed to it. He never agreed to it. He never agreed to it.
That's how it's done.
Because you can't lie.
So what do you see from these two Gemaras? From the Yoratoch Stei Chavero, and from the case of the Baal Bais offered Betulasa, but they were the workers were told the Arba, and the Goyim raised Arba. What you see from both Gemaras is the following concept. Reshech develops very beautifully in Eretz Tzvin Simen Chavtez, that we divide, there are many cases where the halacha says I owe money for some reason or another. Sometimes I could owe, the halacha might say I owe money because, you know, I bought something, I have to pay you to Me'a Mecca. I borrowed money, I have to pay you back. I was mazik you, I have to pay for the hezek. Or I hired you for a job and I have to pay you. And so on and so forth. There are many different scenarios in which a person owes money. Some of those, we can divide all the cases of a chiyuv tashlum into two types. Milva haksuva batorah and his chayvus midas. His chayvus midas means I have my own volition, chose a voluntary contract. I chose to obligate myself. I didn't have to buy the property. If I buy the property, I have to pay you. I didn't have to borrow the money. If I borrow the money, I have to pay you back. Sometimes it's a his chayvus midah. It's a, sometimes, on the other hand, it's a milva haksuva batorah. The Torah imposes it. For instance, if I smash your windows, I never agreed to pay you. I say in advance to the neighbor, we're playing baseball in the backyard. By the way, if I send the baseball through your window, I'm telling you in advance, tonight in advance, I don't have to pay. And then I send the baseball through the window. So I don't have to pay? Of course. I mean, if the guy said he's mochel. But just because I didn't agree to have to pay, it doesn't matter. Why? Because Chiyuv Nezek is not a Chizchayvus Midas, it's a Milva Ksuv Torah. The Torah imposes, if you're a Mazik, the Torah imposes a Chiyuv to pay. It's not my own Chizchayvus Midas. So, where Shech develops in Eretz Yisrael Simen Chavtez, it's Chiris Poelim, you would have thought that paying worker, the paying salary, sounds like a Chizchayvus Midas. We have a contract, I want to hire you, you want to work for me, and we agree. But what you see from these Gemaras and others is, it is true there often is a contract, but at its core, it's a Milva Ksuva Batorah. If the fact that I worked for you in and of itself imposes on you, within certain parameters, a chiyuv to pay me. If it's work that you would want done, if it's a Sada Suri Lita, I did the work, you have to pay me anyways. Even if we had no contract. Or if there was a mistake in the contract. The going rate is clearly four. Even though the Baal Bais never agreed to it, but the other guy didn't agree to three, so there essentially was no agreement, then the default is you have to pay the going rate. Schiris Polim is a Milva Ksuva Torah, even the absence of a contract, even the absence of his chayvus midas, and that very similar is what Rabbeinu Yonah is coined from the Gemara in Bava Kama, that to a certain extent chiras batim is somewhat similar. We never had a contract. I never agreed to pay you. You never even knew that I was living in your house. It doesn't matter. It's inherent, without any agreement, the fact that I lived in your house in and of itself is mechayv me to pay you. That's a chiddush. Which he quotes the Gemara, part of a larger sugya, but Zenen of Zechaser, Kavakam Chaf and Chaf Aleph, that's the yisod of the first Hanukkah. We'll continue with him tomorrow.